We have certainly enjoyed the song service, and as we have come to worship together, and we want to welcome each one that's come to be with us today. We're so glad to see each one of you, and we want you to feel at home. It's been a beautiful day, and the Lord's been so good to us and blessed us to come together, and we do come together in His name. And the Scripture teaches us to come before His presence with singing. I think the singing has been very beautiful. You're singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord, singing in sincerity. We pray with understanding, and we sing with understanding. And so we are so glad to see each one. And I do beg and ask your request in your prayers as I, a little time I'm before you. I feel my need of the Lord, and I haven't learned how to do it without His help. So we're going to ask Brother Reggie if he would to come up and read the cards that he has to read, and if he would please stay up here, and after we make our announcements and opening hymn, well, Brother Reggie, if you would please offer prayer. Thank you, Brother Reggie, and we want to remember Sister Clara and Sister Ann and Sister Minnie, Brother Bill Kerlock, Brother M.L. Bowers, and Brother Hobart Whitley, and I know these others, Brother Rami and Sister Beth and Brother Leonard, and I know they'd certainly desire our prayers this morning, and I know there's others. And so after we sing, Brother Tom, I was kind of thinking about this 325. But if you have another one, I'd be glad to.
Again, bring my with us, if you will. Our most kind, gracious, and loving Heavenly Father, Creator of all that our eyes behold, Creator of this universe, Thou who holds all power and all things in Thy hand. Father, we come to Thee this morning knowing that we're not worthy to call on Thy great name, that we're sinners here below, but we trust in a risen God and what He's done for us. And Father, we thank Thee so much for that. And we thank Thee for all the many blessings that Thou hast provided us in life, in health, and shelter. And Father, we thank Thee most of all this morning for this opportunity to assemble ourselves together once again as a body of people. We pray that Thou would be one in our midst today, that Thou would let Thy presence be known in this congregation here today, and that this little band of people can continue to meet here at Old Liberty Hill as long as time will stand, and that love will flow here from breast to breast and person to person, and that we'll show our love for one another in the truest of senses. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have been mentioned here this morning, the sick, the afflicted, the bereaved, those who've lost loved ones of late. And Father, we pray for those who may be ill in mind as well as in body. We pray especially, Lord, for them, that Thou would comfort them, strengthen them, and uphold them. We pray for this brother servant, this fellow yoked person, Brother Ron, Brother Elder Romney Williams, that Thou, if it could be Thy will, Thou would heal him, restore him to a reasonable portion of health, Father, that we might have him with us in Thy service for some more time to come. We pray the same for Sister Beth, Brother Leonard Furr as well. And those who've not been mentioned here, we know there are many, and though we know that we may not know who they are, may not call their name, Thou knowest who they are, Father, and Thou art able to minister unto them, and we pray that that would be. Father, we pray for this nation in which we live today, this United States of America, this republic that was founded here by God-fearing men, men who today might look at where we have gone, what this country has done, and be ashamed of some of the things that we're doing today. And we pray that this nation will turn back to Thee, Father, and become once again a praying people, a God-fearing people. We pray, if it could be Thy will, that Thou will stand with her, not turn Thy back on her. Stay with us, be with us, and that Thou would bless our leaders, those in authority over us at this present time. Touch their hearts, we pray, that they might be God-fearing men and women that would seek to do what would be truly right in Thy sight and right for this country, and not just some political or personal agenda. Father, we pray now for this brother that's going to rise to speak to us this morning. We pray that Thou bless Brother Ron with the liberty of his calling. Give him insight into Thy precious word, and Father, even more we pray that Thou will give us ears to hear and open mind to receive and a desire to live out the message that He may bring us in our lives going forward. Father, these blessings we ask now in the name of Jesus Christ and for His sake. We pray that Thou would forgive us for all of our many sins, mistakes, and shortcomings. We thank Thee for the rains that Thou hast sent of late, and pray that Thou would continue to send it to nourish the earth as we go forward. Help us to appreciate what we can see around us as this beautiful spring season comes on. Help us to realize who is the true Creator of all that we behold. Once again, we pray forgiveness for our many sins and mistakes. In Jesus' name and for His sake.
We do appreciate the reverent prayer that has gone before us, and I feel like that our hearts and our minds were knit together and making our requests and known unto the Lord. And the Apostle Paul left here in the first chapter of the Roman letter, and I don't know how it'll be with me, but I would like to start there. And it's in the 14th verse, and read about three verses. The Apostle Paul made the statement, he says, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the both to the wise, to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that be at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For therein is the power of God revealed from faith unto faith. The Apostle Paul had been called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul felt to be debtor both to the Greek, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that be at Rome also. And that's my feeling as I stand before you this morning. Sometimes I wonder just how much there is in me as I come before you this morning. I haven't tried to arrange or make anything prepared before, as I come before you. I want to come before you as we all stand by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said he had not shunned to declare, there in the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, he had not shunned to declare unto them all the counsel of God. And he says, in this counsel, it's repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we stand this day. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. And Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says there's power in the gospel. There's a saving in the gospel. But the gospel is not a means, is not the means of giving life. But I'm glad that the gospel testifies who does give life, and how that it comes about. It's the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. Not from faith to unbelief, but is faith to faith. And John 3:16 is a sweeter verse as there is in the Bible. You just stop and think about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a sweet text. But he tells us who is to. To everyone, that Jew and the Greek, wise and to the unwise, And he tells us who it's written to everyone that believeth. And then we go to the Scripture. We go to the Scripture to find out what condition a believer's in. The third chapter of that I just quoted in John 3:16 says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, John 5:1 is like this. And you know, that was a wonderful scripture to me when the Lord opened my eyes, my understanding, and my heart, and my ears, that I could hear this and believe it. And believe it in my heart. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not having to believe to be born, but they believe because they are born. And I'd had this put to me several times in the first chapter of John. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to many as them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Right there's where their believing comes in again. Even to them that believe on his name. And he qualifies that. Next verse, he qualifies that just as plain as anything. Who give them power to become the sons of God. To everyone that received him, to them that believed on his name, which were, past tense, just like John 5:1 says, whosoever received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on him, which were born, past tense, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the man, nor of the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. Isn't that just as plain as it could be? How could we add anything to that would make it any plainer than what the Lord has given unto us? John 3:16. It's all sweet to us. It's all sweet to God's children that believe. But see, the gospel is not the Spirit. The gospel is not the Spirit of God. The gospel is of the Spirit of God. And it takes the Spirit of God for any man. It takes the Spirit of God for any man to preach the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to have the blessing, the light of the Spirit of our Lord. And we all have to have that same light, that we might understand and receive the precious and the glorious gospel while we live here. John 6:63, I believe it is, where the Lord says, "What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up into heaven where he was?" See, he's not saying this is a gospel. That's not the gospel. He says, "What if you see the Son of Man ascend back into heaven, for he was." You know, I thought several times, but we can still meditate on it and believe it. Jesus was so great that he could be in heaven and be here in earth at the very same time. That doesn't give me any problem. Because he fills heaven and earth. Why, good gracious alive, why come he couldn't be here? I know that my little mind maybe can't fathom all of that. But brothers and sisters, I believe it from the heart. That's why we believe, children of God. God's children that's been born again. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation. And with our mouth we confess. With our mouths, we confess what we believe from our heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, let's just take that for what it says. It says the flesh is not involved in it. which were born not of blood. See, there in the first chapter of John, you just break it down. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were already born of God. See, it does away with that. The flesh profiteth nothing. My words are spirit, and they are life. That's what the power of that the Son of God has. All He has to do is call you, and you'll hear that. You'll hear that voice, and I'll tell you one thing. You will live. I'm talking about eternal. You'll hear the eternal voice of the Son of God. And I love to, what the Lord says. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Known of my sheep. See, we want to learn. We want knowledge. We want to understand more and more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great shepherd of the sheep. We want to learn more and grow more in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So His words are spirit, and they are life. But aren't we thankful that the Lord gave us the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said when he was talking to the church at Ephesus and to the elders down there, he says, you know how I've not shunned to declare unto you all the gospel of Christ. And he said, I know that bonds and afflictions abide me. But he wanted to be at Jerusalem for the Passover. And he says, the Spirit testifies that bonds and afflictions might await me. But he says, none of these things, he wasn't troubled about that. But he wanted to finish his course with joy to testify what? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what the gospel is, has always been, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Unmerited grace. Nothing we can do to merit grace. Grace is free, bestowed upon us as His children freely. Aren't we thankful this morning that we can believe from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto us, the form of doctrine that was once delivered unto the saints? No other gospel. The gospel faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It's a wonderful thing for the gospel to be preached unto us. I love to hear the gospel preached. And they was points. They was points when I come to visit among you here at Liberty Hill, different churches. They was points that just looked like this opened up. Just opened up. The Lord opened it up to me that you could just put these precious truths in harmony, and they all match with grace. Nothing contradictory of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and has given unto us. I find over, and I believe it's the fourth chapter of John, where that really meant something to me when the Lord opened my eyes of my understanding. What I was doing when the Lord was opening my understanding, He was opening my understanding that I might grow, see, that I might grow in grace and knowledge. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Whosoever shall confess, as Paul there in the 10th chapter of the Roman letter, is to the believer, whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Oh, when I could see that, I thought to myself, well, if a man would confess from the heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ had to be in the heart first. 12th chapter of the Corinthian letter, Paul says, talking about our understanding, he says, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God can call Christ a curse, and no man can say Jesus is Lord save by the Holy Ghost. In other words, we bring it right back there again. Back there again, that believer, the Lord has already done His work in the heart. I like what Paul gives us there in the second chapter of the latter part of the second chapter of the Roman letter. Over there in the, ninth chapter of the Hebrew letter, Paul makes a statement here. He says, they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Well, you know, a lot of people, and especially the Jews, they thought if they were Abraham's children, that they were all God's children. But the Bible does not bear that out. The Bible doesn't bear that. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all called. See, all the Jews come out of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But children of God, the Lord says, just because it's a fleshly nature, you go back there to the first chapter of John again, which were born not of the natural blood lineage. It didn't make any difference about the blood lineage. I know that it does when it comes down to sin entering into the world, because we're just Adam multiplied. That's all we are. We've got the nature of Adam. We've got the polluted blood of Adam. In other words, we just, all of Adam's posterity, all that Adam represented, they fell in Adam. One man, did not two men, by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, for death is passed upon all men, because it's plain, because all have sinned. That's just as plain as it can be. But you know, when it comes down, to the children of Abraham, the Bible's plain to us on that. It's not to seeds of many. The Lord didn't promise it to Abraham through seeds of many. The promise that he'd be the a father of many nations, and Sarah's after her name was changed to Sarah, she'd be the mother of many nations. Children of God, that wasn't, the promise wasn't made to Abraham that he might become one of God's children. He was already one of God's children. That's why God, he was one of God's heirs, because that's why the covenant was made with Abraham, that in his seed, what a blessing. Didn't say in thy seeds. He says, in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And when God made promise to Abraham, he didn't say to seeds as of many. He says to seeds as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Just pinpoints it down. Brings one, and that's Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you be Abraham's seed, let me tell you this. Let's put it like it's supposed to be. The Jews said, we have Abraham. Well, the Lord just put it plain out. He says, if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are heirs. We are heirs. Think about that. We are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And these principles, has the church stood down through the years, and she's always held firm. She's been strong. Be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we are strong. We're strong in grace. If we're strong in grace, we're strong in Jesus Christ. Because grace and truth came by Him. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, John says. But the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. And the Bible went on there to say, make the statement there, and we don't have any problem with that. We believe it. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Brothers and sisters, He created. I'd rather read you right in His prayer. Who could show us this morning? Who could have raised and shown us the beauty of another spring that the Lord has blessed us to see, when He had raised up His the power, and He upholds all things by the word of His power, and see the beauty of God's creation? Doesn't that lift our eyes and our thoughts and upward, that we can thank Him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I'm thinking about these five points that the church has stood on, that the church has held down through the centuries of time, that she was given grace. That she was given grace and purpose in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And this grace was manifested to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter was writing to the strangers, what did he call them? He says, elect. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Who could not rejoice? Who could not rejoice that God loved us? God loved us freely. Loved us before we were ever born into this world. Loved us before God ever created this world. Loved us before He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. Loved us before God took Eve out of Adam and gave her to Him to be His mate, His wife. God loved us. Loved us freely with an everlasting love. Elected us. Chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. First chapter of the Ephesian letter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Oh, children of God, I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ loved you. He chose you in Christ Jesus. He gave you to Him. And embraced in Him is an eternal purpose. As Paul would tell us in the third chapter of the Ephesian letter, to whom God would make known this mystery. He says, the manifold wisdom of God, now unto the intent that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In God's wisdom, He chose us in Christ, gave us unto Christ Jesus our Lord. And sometimes people think, whenever we say, when I mentioned that we... I'm a what denomination? I'm a Primitive Baptist. Not a thing wrong with that. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't declare it with a haughty and high spirit. That's the last thing within me. And you know that I'm even mindful of that when I tell people that I belong to a primitive Baptist church. You know that keeps me from exalting myself whatsoever. Because I know that it wasn't by works of righteousness which I've done, with my hope that I have in my heart. It wasn't anything that I done to get it. It was all given unto me in grace. And so that grace keeps me down whenever I say, we are of the primitive Baptist church. Our faith is what we believe. Our faith is what we confess. In our works, show what we believe. Everybody's works show what they believe. If I believe that the Lord didn't save His people, and He had laid on my heart to help Him try to save His people, well, children of God, I ought to be out there working, helping the Lord to get the work done. But the Lord didn't give nobody that work to be done. He done that Himself, and He didn't depend on anyone to do it. He just came down from heaven. He knew what He came here to do. He knew why He was sent here. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, He was just as faithful unto His Father, what He had sent Him to do, what He done. And He knew what He came to do. He knew that He came to give His life, a ransom for many. Didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And that many is everyone. That many is everyone that the Father gave Him in that covenant. They were elect. And that's why the Apostle Paul made the statement over there. They say we can't preach a funeral without the 8th chapter of the Roman letter. Yes, we can, but we don't mind taking everything and just hinging it over there on the 8th chapter of the Roman letter, because it works together. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, now, who is that working together for? This brings you right back down there again to God's people. God's children works together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You can't get away from it. It just brings us back to the author and the finisher of our faith. I tell people, yes, we believe predestinated and predestinate, but what does it mean? Who is it that's concerned? Just who I quoted. Paul said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, we don't believe that means all things good, bad, and indifferent. We don't believe that. Because if you can bring me one scripture that'll contradict what this Bible teaches me, my foundation's gone. My hope would be gone. But I've never found anybody that could do that. I've never found anybody that could contradict this. But there's one thing that I do know, that all things are not together. There in the 5th chapter of the Galatian letter says, the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. That just means, brethren, that doctrine that all things All things work together for good to them that love God. Improving everything that's transpired out here in this world, it won't work. You can't get it together. But I'll say this much. Everything that God done for His elect people, you can be assured of one thing. It's working together for their good. And the condition of that is, we love Him because that He first loved us. That's why the Lord done. That's why the Lord done everything that He done for us, is because His mercy and His great love. Wherewith He loved us. What kind of a love was it, Brother Ron? John, the 3rd chapter, said, "Behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And John says, "Brethren, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Now that's in harmony. That's in harmony with just what I quoted. For whom He did, He loved. Those that He loved, for whom He did foreknow. Listen to this. He also did predestinate. Well, just take it as it is. Determine, who would anyone want to go against that God made arrangements in His Son, Jesus Christ, sent Him into the world to complete and finish a work. And our Lord said He finished the work while He was here and went back to heaven, that we might live in heaven. Let's see. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Well, go with me over there in the first chapter of the Ephesian letter. I quoted predestinate. This is predestinated. Having blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according we were chosen in Christ for the foundation of the world, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. See, there you embraced in that. You embraced in that predestinated. Well, go with me to 1:11 in that same chapter, in whom we have received an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after His own counsel of His own will. We have predestinated twice there. And we don't go no farther than what the Scripture gives us. We're satisfied with just exactly what the Scripture gives us. I quoted you there in the 8th chapter of the Roman letter. It says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Paul didn't stop there. He says, "Moreover." When Paul says, "Moreover," there's something to follow that. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, He also called." There is that calling. There's that quickening of the Spirit where our Lord says, "The flesh profiteth nothing. My words are spirit, and they are life." Those that He predestinate, He also called. Not worried about that. Not worried about that. The Lord's going to call every one that He foreknew. Every one that He predestinated. Every one that He predestinated to call. He's going to call them. I don't get tired of that. You had been in the church. You had been in the church years before we began to visit among you. But see, you were established in these principles. You were rooted. You were built up in them. You were built up in that most holy faith. You had laid hold of that hope of that eternal life. But see, I was coming in as just a babe, and I'm still just a child in the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has given unto us. But thank God He's given me to know the difference. And I thank God for it. I believe in works and I believe in grace. But let grace be grace and let works be works. See, the grace comes first and then our works comes after that work of grace in our hearts. See, our works is not in order to become one of God's children or be made one of God's children. Our works come because we are already God's children. And He has ordained. We are His workmanship. Go right back there to the Ephesian letter again, second chapter. We His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We believe that. We believe that we should, everyone that has believed in the name of Christ, we believe they ought to be careful to maintain good works. For these things are good and profitable unto men while we live here in this world. These things are profitable unto us while we live here. The Lord didn't give us a gospel. He didn't give us these points to make us children of God. He gave it to us because we were already His children. And He wanted us to be rooted and grounded, that we would not be blown about, carried about and blown about by every wind of doctrine that comes along. And I know what that is too. I've been blown this way and blown that way. But when the Lord opened my understanding, I was in the order one Sunday, and I love those folks. Meet some of them still today, and I still got to love my heart for them. But the thing about it is, the Lord opened up my eyes that I could see before I knew any of those folks down there, with the exception of one, my oldest sister, I knew her. But as any of the rest of those folks down there, I didn't know one of them. But the Lord opened my heart up to that I could see if I had something in my bosom, and I felt like I did because I'd been trying to pray. I had a desire to read this book here too. I didn't tell anybody about it, but I had a desire. I wanted to read this book here. But the Lord showed me if I had something in my heart here, I had it before. I had it before that I ever met those people. And so I couldn't divide that with them. That you can't divide the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as He does in the heart with anyone else. Or we can come together and rejoice in the Lord and feel like our hearts are tied together, and when one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And this building, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, His fitly framed together. It groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can embrace these principles, we can hold to them, and this form of doctrine that's been delivered unto us, just as the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread and in prayers, we can continue on in these things. And you have done it. That's the reason you have the church today. The church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell my children, I tell them every once in a while, I says, it's the church of the living God. I says, it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Isn't that wonderful? We are in we in the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. God's eternal truths are here. God's eternal truths are here. All His mercy, there in the 100th Psalm, the last verse closes out, says His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. We haven't left these principles. The church has held them down through the ages. He said, predestinated them, for whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. Can't get away from that justifying blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been justified. You've been cleansed through that blood. And I could quote you a scripture or two. Blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin, see? You've been justified. Being justified freely by His grace, the third chapter there of Romans. Being justified freely by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Fifth chapter, being justified freely by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Brothers and sisters, we don't need anything else. Everything we need, it's our church is fitly framed together. It grows into a holy temple in our Lord Jesus Christ. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And I believe with all of my heart, He told Martha, He says, I am the resurrection. And that's just exactly what He is. It means that He is the resurrection. It means that He's our resurrection. Because He was raised and resurrected from the grave, we're going to be raised and we're going to be resurrected from the dead. And then Paul asks the question, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him us for us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? How can anybody read the Bible and not acknowledge that God had an elect people chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? Don't quit telling that to me, brothers and sisters. I want to hear it as long as I live here in this world. Lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It's God that justifies. How are we justified? Through Christ. It's God that justifies. It's Christ that died. Who aren't there? The complaint is against God. Brother, and I'll tell you, I'm satisfied. Not with myself. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm satisfied with the church. Because the Lord bless me to see the church. And the first thing, brothers and sisters, I've thought of it time and again. The first thing that I noticed when I began to visit among the churches. I've been out down here. I remember when Shepherd Stevens come out here at this Liberty Hill Church, the first time he'd ever been here in the Bear Creek Association. Him and Brother Mills met together right out here at the side of the church. I remember those times. Now, I've told Brother Mills, not giving him any high quality at all. I said, Brother Mills, you opened something up for me today that's tied some things together for me. See, in other words, every time I'd go to church, it looks to me like that golden eternal chain of God's eternal love. It looked like there was just another link put in that chain. But I might be a little stronger. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. It's a good thing that your heart be established in grace. 13th chapter of the Hebrew letter. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's Christ that died. That's how it came about. God through His Son justified His elect people. And I quoted a while ago, they said, we're Abraham's seed. Well, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I'll buy that. I'll take that. He's not a Jew which is one outward there in the second chapter, of last two verses of the second chapter of the Roman letter, says, he's not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, and not in the wholeness of the letter. See, when God made Abraham that covenant, under the law, they would be circumcised. But when the Lord, when you made a spiritual Jew or a spiritual Israelite, I'll tell you what the Lord does. He circumcises the heart. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision is out of the heart and the spirit, not in the oldness of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Well, what about all the people that lived before the Lord Jesus Christ came here into the world? Were they born again? I'd have to say yes. And I don't mind quoting this. I quoted it last Sunday. I didn't plan it, but I don't mind quoting it. I'd quote it tomorrow too if the Lord brought it to my mind. There in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel's gospel, he says, I'll take you from among the heathen. I'll gather you out of all countries. Now look, just look there. Now that's just I. Every one of those promises there that the Lord has made, he says, the work that he was going to do, it's I'll do this. Nobody, it's not I, we, and us. He just says, I'll do this. He says, I'll take you from among the heathen. I'll bring you from, I'll gather you out of all countries. Bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From your idols and from your filthiness, filthiness will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit that I will put within you. I'll take away the hard and stony heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. See, the Lord does all of this. The only one can do it. I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my judgments, keep my commandments. And what did he say? And says, I will be unto you a God, and ye shall be unto me a people. The Lord does all of that work. Circumcises, takes a hard and stony heart out, gives you a heart of flesh, and you are a spiritual Israelite. But thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You're not your own. You bought with a price. And Paul in 2 Corinthians tells us that. What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, why? You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And knowing this, and knowing this, and understanding that it wasn't much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, without blemish and without spot. Brings you right back here where it started from. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. See that you love one another fervently being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Who could that be other? Who could that be other than our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Incorruptible seed, liveth forever, born again, a new birth in our Christ Jesus our Lord. And it all came from above, all in, by, and through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your attention. We love these principles. I can't help but dwell on them. Had my little daughter ask me not long ago, says, "Daddy, why come you didn't mention these chapters of the Roman letter?" I said, well, all these things tie right in there too. Those things that were given unto us. We publish the doors of Liberty Hill Church open for the reception of members. What number might we sing?
252.
Number 252. Sing when you're ready.
Dear. Just have to think about it. I'm trying to take your job now.